What is the connection between body and spirit? How important is health in our walk with God, in our spiritual journey? To talk about that with me today is my co-host, Josh Peck.
Hey, Donna, how are you doing?
Good. One of my favorite guests. I can't wait to welcome him. His name is Daniel, and he is a certified health coach. Welcome, Daniel.
Hi, Donna. Thanks for having me.
Well, I'm glad to have you here. This is one of my favorite topics to talk about because I went through a recent health change myself. I used to weigh 50 pounds more than I do now, and just by making some simple changes in diet, it really changed my life. So, yeah, I'm glad we're talking about this. Glad to have you here.
Yeah, I'm glad to be here.
There's a lot of competing things going on right now. Everybody wants to say follow the ketogenic way, or they want to talk about a diet. One of the things I brought you on here to talk about was the fact that it's so much more than just, you know, health coaching is so much more important to the spiritual side of things. It's not just, you know, you'll feel well if you do this. Everybody in the Christian world, I've heard it more times than I can count. They say you can't serve well unless you feel well.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that there's a lot of truth in that. Well, what is the spirit-body connection?
Well, really, our ability to fulfill our body's design and nature has everything to do with the way it performs. And so I think we've all felt that whenever we've, you know, went too far with sugar or alcohol or any, you know, given thing, that we can really feel it within us. And when that happens, then our bodies aren't up to the level of receptivity to our world that's around us, you know, making us conscious about other human beings. We might be more agitated than normal, which doesn't allow us to maybe be the best friend or coworker or spouse or any number of other given things as to how this applies to us. And so, and especially if you're suffering a lot, suffering on and on and on will take you into a place where it's hard to keep into your mind, you know, the things that are most important in the realm of virtue. And most importantly, whenever you're really suffering, it's very hard to work, you know, and I think, you know, faith without works is dead. And so we need to be able to engage in our bodies, and that has more to do with us fulfilling our obligations to the laws unto which we are born unto. And that's making sure that we don't eat poison and that we don't eat more than our share, and that we chew our food, you know, as well as taking time out for spiritual nutrition, which is like apologizing and mean it, you know, like making sure that we are truthful and forthright with our language, you know, especially with ourselves. And then, because whenever those things, whenever we're suffering with dysfunction, and especially really serious diseases and dysfunction, but even all the way down to just basic depression, it's hard to see what is valuable and good in life whenever you're not well in your body.
Well, I can certainly relate to everything you just said, because again, when I was living unhealthily, it was a lot harder for me to serve in the way that God called me to serve. Even before that, there was a stretch of years where I was on I was prescribed narcotics, and I was taking those. I don't anymore, but I was prescribed that for chronic pain, and then it was like nearly impossible to serve. And so I can definitely relate to what you're talking about. What's some of the most common problems that you see in people today that seems to come up time and time again?
Well, I would even say it's the most basic foundation of priority. You know, like, so we're born into a certain set of laws that we're beholden to.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and we minister especially to a lot of important theological perspectives and principle and virtue perspectives, but we really don't minister to the body anywhere in the level at which we need to.
Right.
And because that is the most relative thing. This is the vehicle by which we are given, by which we perform all things.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and I think that especially when we look at religious practices, like probably the most consistent like sacrament we perform is over food,
yeah,
and the blessing over mm-hmm. food. Why is that the most, literally the most times that you will ever contact God in your life will be over
right.
food? And I think that there's more of a relationship there than maybe is being expressed. In the origin, in Genesis, you know, that the first gift was the breath of life, and then the second one was a garden.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the perfect place to live as an immortal forever.
Yeah.
In just exactly the manner in which is best for you. So those laws still apply. Just we acquired, you know, an infinitesimal amount of knowledge, and we no longer revere that in the way that I think that it needs to be done. Because whenever we make nourishment, rest, peace, and things of that nature in the manner in which we're meant to do it, mm-hmm. I think that's the most neglected thing. And it's not rocket science. I think that wisdom is meant to be simple so that all people have it. Otherwise, I don't think God wants to shelter wisdom from the meek or right. the young or the infirm or the destitute or the addicted or any given number of people. And so I think it's meant to be simple. And I think science actually demonstrates this to us now, that if you ignore biology, in other words, if you don't eat the right foods and you don't eliminate enough waste, you'll get colon cancer.
Yeah.
Or if you eat too much sugar, you're going to go blind. Mm-hmm. It's going to affect your nerves. It's going to affect your glandular system. And that affects hormones. It affects the way you feel. It affects depression, pleasure, mm-hmm. all the different manner of things that make life worth living, which make it glorious here, not what isn't of us, but what is of us. Mm. And it is our birthright to have that. And whenever you enable the body, again, you know, the laws of origin are still the laws that govern us.
Right.
And so we need fresh air and we need clean food. Mm-hmm. What does it mean to eat poison? What we do becomes us. As a person, as a man thinketh, so as he is.
Right.
And so that's also a pretty literal connection from the way that the sanctity at which I put under the way I nourish myself that continues to allow me to be a good father, for example, or be a good spouse or a good coworker or to serve God under the manner in which I see fit. Mm-hmm. I really think has more to do with fulfilling the laws that we now take for granted, which are the ones that govern our physical bodies, because I know people who are suffering so extremely. I talk to people who suffer all the time, mm-hmm. and it could be Alzheimer's and they're forgetting their children or their wife or their husband. Well, we know that there's things within the dietary aspect, and not just that, just stress, anxiety, that contribute to those kinds of struggles.
Right.
And so we need to have a place where we can aggregate all that information down and put it in a format that's simple and easy for people to comprehend and understand. And as opposed to kind of the model in which we've been operating, which is that wait till things get dysfunctional and then treat it, we haven't even laid the basis of knowledge. Mm-hmm. How do we tell somebody that they're going to be able to control their blood sugar or their weight or a given issue if we've not taught them how to be nourished?
Right.
We taught them how to count calories or how
right.
to do X, Y processed food or whatever, but we have not laid the foundation of, well, you need peace while you're awake, not mm-hmm. just while you're asleep. And you need to have nutrition so that your brain can remember things mm-hmm. and that it can focus. You know, it's just like when people's blood sugar crashes and they're not making any sense and things of that nature. It's because they've not fulfilled the law. Mm-hmm. And what is more representative of being well and to do service than being able to do it?
Right.
And if we've not made a priority of the biology that we're governed by, then there's really not much chance that we could be well and healthy and serve and the greatest capacity. And I think that lack of understanding of kind of dialing it way back, it's not, because there's thousands of diets. Mm-hmm. There's only one truth about humans and food. Mm-hmm. Don't eat more than your share. Don't eat poison.
Right.
Balance it
That's
out.
Right.
And those kinds of things. It's not meant to be rocket science. Like it, I find it interesting. Like I'm certified as an expert in the therapeutic use of enzymes and probiotics, things like that, which I find interesting. Mm-hmm. But I've actually found that counterintuitive when working with most people. You have your own jobs. You can't be experts in everything. It's more important to eat a fresh apple.
Right.
Because it's going to provide the bacteria on the outside and the enzymes on the inside. It's going to self-digest and eliminate and those kinds of things. And that's what I mean about wisdom being simple. It's not meant to be overly complicated. And that's what I tried to do, is help illustrate that in a way that you can comprehend. And in language that's not overly pontificating, mm-hmm. you know, like, and overly, you know, drawn out and intellectual.
So one of the things that Chalk Talk likes to do whenever possible, we like to challenge the culture, the culture of Christianity, mm-hmm. this idea that, you know, Xerox theology, my pastor says this, so that must be true. My mom says this. And what we always want to do is try to get the people who are listening to us at home to really dig for themselves and try to find, when I say find the truth for themselves, I mean in the Word. I don't mean go out into the world and find what is spiritually true to you in this
right.
postmodernist idea of Christianity. That's not what I'm talking about. But in challenging our listeners with this subject, because it is a little bit traditional for Chalk Talk to be featuring a health coach, mm-hmm. but it's it is absolutely innately involved in our ability to serve. Because, again, I'll say it again, if you don't feel well, you don't serve well.
Right.
And so I would go as far as to ask the question, and I'd like to pose this to you, Josh, and then turn it over to Daniel. We have many times taken the most bizarre thing and said, is that a sin? The one that we actually just got done discussing last week or the week before is it a sin to be offended? Mm-hmm. And after a long discussion, we came to the conclusion that, I mean, barring real deep emotional trauma or hurt, yes, it's a sin to wander around and be offended at what the trolls online are saying or whatever, because it's a distraction from what you've been called to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I would pose this question. Is it a sin to not care about your health? And when I say your health, I don't mean now you got to go on Atkins and be on a ketogenic. I mean to not be informed.
Right.
To say, that's for my doctor to figure out. I don't need to worry about that. I'm not going to worry about that. And a popular one that Joe Horn has heard in his years now with Time Bomb and his whole testimony is that is so complicated. I'm going to leave that for somebody else to figure out. Leave it to the experts. What do you think, Josh?
Yeah, well, I think that there's definitely a line, and I think it could go even too far. I do think that it is a sin to not be informed about your own health. You know, take care of yourself. You don't want to waste the gift that God gave you in this life. But at the same time, I think that only goes up to a certain point, because there are people who get super obsessed with their health and only focus on that and only focus on trying to stay alive for as long as they possibly can, so much so that all the focus is on their health and not what God may have really called them to do. So I think there's a line where it can go too far, but I think in our culture, by and large, people don't care enough. You know, I don't think you're going to find as many of those people who are super obsessed, but who just don't take it seriously enough. I was certainly in that camp, and I fully believed that I was sinning while I was doing that, you know, while I was living unhealthy and eating junk food that I knew was bad for me. And it got to the point where I just really had to stop because I was being convicted of it. And thank God for that.
I think maybe a little bit of what you're trying to emphasize is that there's a balance.
Right.
And on the one extreme, we don't care.
Yeah.
Who cares? And on the other extreme, it's what you described,
it's
where we're
going to
take it to a 10. And now everybody that we talk to, we're going to, you know, nail them over the head with our own convictions about health.
Well, some people can even turn that into their own religion. I mean, we've run mm-hmm. into people like that before where their whole belief system, or the way that they filter the world, is through what they've discovered about their, you know, health. And if everybody doesn't do it, then they're not worth talking to, and they have an attitude about it. And almost like it's a tool of self-righteousness to some people. That's a good way to put it. There's a balance between the two. What do you think?
I would agree. It's the realm of, you know, how fantastical the human body is and just the way the universe is in general is so vast that you really can't, you could delve into any given subject to the nth degree.
Oh yeah.
And it loses its purpose though.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a place that is beyond us where we need help, and that's where expertise comes in.
Definitely.
You know, I don't know that I believe it's a sin unless you know better. Because I'm an ignorant hillbilly from the Ozarks.
Yeah.
You know, and that's who I am, that's how I was born. And when I say that, that's in no way a disparagement.
Right.
I'm saying ignorance. I just didn't know.
Yeah.
You know, but it was always there. But once I realized it, then it became incumbent upon me to take up the mantle of responsibility.
That's right.
That I had something to do. And in order to do it, I had to pay my prices,
mm-hmm.
which means I had to go back and do what I didn't want to do,
mm-hmm.
to go and pay my, and what I equated out is to debt, mm-hmm. essentially. You know, I had accrued all this debt over time, just through bad habits, addiction, struggle, you know, just traumas that everybody goes through.
Yeah.
You know, everybody has the struggle. And to your previous point about how everybody thinks their health journey is everybody's health journey, that's true for specialists, books, everything under the sun.
Oh, yeah.
And they do treat it like a religion. I don't think they realize it. They mm-hmm. really do believe and understand, as it relates to them, that this matters. But they don't really understand that that's not the totality of wisdom, and not all those things apply. But by that same token, there's a universal thread about biology and humans. And those things are true. And that's really why I try to delve it back down to, there's a point where you might have to go to an endocrinologist or something like that, because it really is just beyond you. That's important, to have the humility to be able to ask.
Yeah.
And also, most importantly, though, not just put it over in their hands, but we want to work with that person to help the doctor or the specialist, what it is, to just try to get control of it yourself, you know, whatever the given health issue is. And sometimes you could do that, and sometimes you can't. And so, but personally, I definitely believe that once we realize, and I think that is indescribable or irrefutable, that there is an incumbent responsibility for us to, once we realize that in order to serve and to be well, that we need to do this, and most importantly, for our sake, not for others. Like, and I think this is really important with parents. So I grew up the son of a single mother, and she sacrificed everything for me. And I can appreciate that, and I understand that as a parent as well. However, though, what I did came to understand is my mother, like, oh, adulthood is just where you sacrifice all of your own wellness for somebody else, you know, and that's what parenthood is. And in my experience since then, and with my own son, as long as I told my son what to do, and I wasn't doing it, it never had traction, you know, because they do more what you do than what you say.
Right.
So if I instead become an example of somebody who loves myself, you know, and loves the life that I've been given, and that I'm just as worthy as my child, and that's a hard, hard thing for a parent to accept, that my life is just as valuable, then in turn, the child gets the message that, oh, my life, I need to, life is my right. I need to be doing for me just like my mom does for her, or my dad does for her, and they're happy, you know. And so I really think it's important to recognize that we can't, well, we might think we might be worldly, you know, and that we can sacrifice everything. Sacrificing biology is sacrificing God's law. And in turn, we cannot be well. And therefore, we can't go on and live a long life to live three generations in to where we can pass to our grandchildren the fruits of our labors.
Right.
For example, as opposed to the crushing debt that where people are losing their homes because of medical debt, you know, or any number of given things. That was the number in the 2008 housing crisis. Most people lost their homes to medical debt than any other reason. And so where's our real struggle? Is it in housing, or is it in the fact that we're not well enough to maintain it in so many ways? So I think that, I think that once you know it's incumbent upon you in really taking ownership of your own beauty and the gift that you've been given, and viewing as precious till you're gone, you know.
How do we find the balance between that and what somebody could take? You know, somebody could take that to the extreme and become, you know, selfish and not serving others anymore. Where's the balance between, you know, totally sacrificing everything that God gave you as a gift, between that extreme and the extreme of just not serving anybody at all and just being a selfish person?
I think that that has to do with practice.
Okay.
You know, it's just like there's all kinds of things I didn't know until I was older and was able to work on it. You know, there's times that I knew the difference and still made mistakes. You know, so like it's, for me, it's a matter of like practice and always being humble, being skeptical. Like I had mentioned this before, but like if your arguments or your perspectives and beliefs can't hold up to the scrutiny of question, then we should be questioning our belief.
Right.
You know, and but once you intrinsically and inherently know it, there's not really a point in questioning that part of it until something reveals itself to it that says you maybe didn't know it all and you need to change.
Yeah.
And I think that it's more a matter of work. And that's kind of what I think, you know, that faith is really important and work's really important. Mm-hmm. They're both really important and on equal levels.
Also, I think that another way of looking at this, you know, a number of years ago when I was in training to be a lifeguard, there was the whole first aid side to the training, so it wasn't just the water. And one of the very first things that they teach you is survey the scene. And so if you're in lifeguarding it, and they're explaining to you when you enter a scene of danger, let's say you go running outside because you hear someone calling for help or whatever, and a power line is down and there's water everywhere and it's raining. The first thing that you do is not bum rush straight out there and try to save someone, because you're going to get electrocuted. The first thing that you do is survey the scene. Am I safe?
Right.
Before you ever help someone else.
Because if you're not safe, you can't help that other person.
That's right. That's right. Mm. And so using that same analogy, I think that there's something to be said for, you know, gospel work and the Great Commission work that we do with our bodies. Mm-hmm. If we are haphazardly mm-hmm. running into the scene to go saving people, and we haven't protected what so many people in will say, we haven't protected the temple, mm-hmm. Then moving forward would put us in a position where we've just bum-rushed the scene and we can't help that person the way we need to help them. Mm-hmm. Long-term, that could mean all kinds of different things. For a short, you know, relationships that we were hoping to foster and nurture over time become something different, and we become depressed because we're not, you know, caring for our body. So I think there's something to that. I think that it's not only that we need to say the first thing we care for is ourselves because we want to put others second. Mm-hmm. I think the whole point of it is put ourselves first so that others can also be first.
Right.
But it's a change in perspective.
Well, it's like, well, you know, you're on a plane and they tell parents put your own oxygen mask on first before you put it on your children, because mm-hmm. you need to make sure you're conscious and you're able to do it, otherwise both of you are in danger. So yeah, that makes total sense to me.
And I think that there's something that needs to be said about the conviction mm-hmm. here. I think there's a lack of conviction.
Yeah.
And I am guilty as ever.
Me too.
Up until a very short time ago. It was because of Joe Horn. If you've been watching Skywatch long enough, you'll understand that Joe Horn's journey with the whole time bomb. Look it up. Skywatch Time Bomb. The episodes are all up on our YouTube channels and Roku. Mm-hmm.
And he's even done interviews on this channel too, on Chalk Talk, about that mm-hmm. that very thing.
Yeah, and so I think there's an issue where, you know, that there's a conviction missing, and maybe that happens with everybody when they get, you know, past that cheeseburger teenage phase where their mm-hmm. bodies are just impervious and they're going to live forever. And then all of a sudden they feel groggy and they mm-hmm. go, oh, I better go see a doctor and figure out what this health thing is.
Yeah.
But I do think that it is something, and I'm as guilty as anyone, it needs to be a bigger deal in the church. Mm-hmm. It just does. There needs to be more people that are willing to stand at a pulpit. And I don't mean that they have to set the right example, like they have to have a gym membership and they have to be perfect and they can't, you know, have a, mm-hmm. you know, the potato salad gut. What I mean is that they need to be standing at the pulpit and explaining how important that our bodies are to the Great Commission. That's very intrinsically, I like that word, intrinsically attached to the Great Commission. It's what we've been called to do. We do have this tendency to want to say our body is the temple. And I don't mean to make fun of that. I do believe that our body is the temple. But also I know, and Josh and I are going to do an entire mm-hmm. episode on this, that is one of the most abused, misunderstood verses in the entire word.
Yeah.
Because we'll get into what that verse actually means. Let's do that. We'll do that after, you know, here in about 2 to 3 weeks from now. We will actually do that and make it a priority. Because in this entire subject, I want to make it clear that the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit has some very specific cultural issue that's being addressed in Scripture there. But so that's A, but B, collectively. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying any specific individuals. I would never name drop, but I've heard it all my life. Collectively, that we want to say, well, our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. You can't pierce. You can't have tattoos. You can't, you know, eat too much potato salad, or, you know, how many, speaking of potato salad, not to throw anybody under the bus, but how many times do we hear a pastor saying, you can't smoke, you can't drink, you can't do all of these sinful things, and they're morbidly obese?
Right.
Or, and I want you to maybe talk on this a little bit, if we don't have time, we'll do it next week, but one of the things I want to eventually get on is the subject of pharmaceuticals. I mean, the fact that we're putting so many drugs into our body, and just because a doctor's got the signature on it, mm-hmm. But it's all connected. Mm-hmm. There is a balance, and the balance doesn't start and end with, I'm going to go to church on Sunday and go to an all-you-can-eat buffet afterwards, and if I get sick, then I'm going to go see a Western doctor. Mm-hmm. That's not the balance. That's imbalance.
It is easily one of the most serious problems that we have, that it is not in ministry, in my estimation. Like, we minister to sin all the time, but never to the maintenance of the beautiful gift that we've been given. And I definitely believe that so much of our suffering could be relieved by that. And we do have a double standard within the ministry in general, but not exclusively. of people that will that are cool with their addiction but not cool with other people's addictions. Mm-hmm. And I would tie that to deadly sinning if we were putting it in that context, which would be gluttony, which would be taking more than your share. So it's and that can apply to any given thing. It could be money, it could be food, it could be anything, alcohol, it could be anything at all. And back to the kind of the point about having the balance of what you were saying, is that that is a part of the spiritual journey. You know, that's what enables us to have the tools. Saying, I do recognize that I will struggle with eating too much sugar, or I do recognize that I struggle with this habit or this addiction, but I'm working on it. I'm mm-hmm. not a perfect human. I am trying to become humble and have a fundamental understanding of who I am and what I need to do to put my life right and the best it can, and be forgiving of ourselves. Mm-hmm. You know, like, because we, you know, especially a tenet which is predicated upon forgiveness, and we don't. We go and beat ourselves up endlessly
right.
over things that we really don't even understand. We will call ourselves bad or wrong or evil or sinning, and we don't even know what we're saying. And here's a great example. So wheat back in the 1920s had five times as much nutrition as it does today.
Wheat.
Mm. Okay. So literally has 1/5 of the nutritional density that it had almost 100 years ago. So that means you have to eat five times the volume to get the same nutrition. And so that's really a huge part of where we struggle with, especially food addiction, is because we eat food and it's calories, but it's not nutrition, and hunger is a cry for nutrition. So what'll happen is, and we kind of hear this argument, we want everything to be one way or the other, black or white, right or left. And instead there's this huge gray area. So for example, we'll beat up obese people sometimes, and they will have this perspective that, look, it's glandular. Like, my body just tells me it wants to eat all the time, and I can't help it. And then you'll have the other thing, well, you don't try or you don't do it. That's the thing. Both of those are true. But how do you fix it? Because the thing is, they are literally eating food, but they're malnourished. Mm-hmm. They're full and starving. So they filled the space in their stomach, but they have no nutrition. So therefore, they're secreting hormones that tell them they're starving to death. And therefore, they have to keep eating. Mm-hmm. Their biology is telling them, I have to keep eating because I'm not nourished. I don't know why I'm so hungry, but I just am. And the reason is because they're not nourished. And so, yes, they do need to find discipline, but they also have to have compassion, understanding that, like, oh, I am in a cycle of malnourishment and addiction, and this is a fight.
Wow.
And it's a fight. It's not just like, and fighting's not about winning. Fighting's about not quitting. You know, like, you're not going to win everyone, but you don't want to quit. You don't want to get beat and get knocked out, is kind of my point. You know, you got to kind of keep getting up and keep working at it and keep fighting for it, especially in the face of the struggles that we have. We kind of, to the thing about the maybe some of the struggles ministerially, is that we do kind of just preach that sin, avoidance of sin, as opposed to the lifting up of oneself. You know, and that very strong critical analysis. And what that does is it makes you just beat yourself up like you're just ignorant. Like, I'm just too weak. I can't ever be strong enough to overcome donuts. Or even people who were born diabetic that didn't have any say-so in the matter, you know. And whenever we are overly just on people about that kind of thing, I think what we really do lose sight of is the path to wellness and forgiveness and understanding. And most importantly, that we talk about the idea that we are all just going to die someday, that we're all just degenerating, we're all just getting older, and they're all just going to get sicker and weaker. And I think, to your point about what you'd said about your own self, about how you feel better today than you did years ago.
Yeah.
Are you older than you were?
Yes.
Are you younger than you were?
No.
You know, well, but I would say that you are. Like, if I took your biological things that we can measure, if I take things that we can actually measure biometrically, then in turn, you're actually going to come across younger than you were before you made your changes. And so age isn't relative to time. Age is relative to process.
Okay.
Wow.
And how we fulfill our nature. And because that being the case, we are made of the things that go inside of us, and that's why we can get better as we get older, you know, or worse. It will be dependent upon our ability to fulfill our natures in the manner of its orientation. And so, and it's designed to regenerate, kind of back to what I was saying a moment ago about, like, we're kind of really taught that we just degenerate and get old and sick and don't heal as well. That isn't about age. It's about condition. Mm. And so we will heal forever, and we will never have a choice till we die. The body will be the last thing that gives up on you on earth. Mm. Like, you could be in a coma for 20 years and get cut to the bone. You'll instantly reanimate like you were before you're injured. You can't even say no. Mm-hmm. And so that's the nature of the human body, is to regenerate and redeem as long as it lives. And there's no other, just there isn't another thing. Mm-hmm. And so, so much of that is predicated on our ability to see clearly that, again, wisdom is simple, that it is not about being perfect. It's just about being better. It's about trajectory. It's just about going up, you know, and then kind of being understanding and forgiving ourselves that way. I have a lot of clients, and they're most of them are type A's. Mm-hmm. And they're like perfect wife, perfect husband, perfect marriage, perfect children, perfect job, perfect exercise routine, perfect macro diet, everything. And they're absolutely spent and wiped and mm-hmm. done. And that's because, you know, we sometimes have to be really shrewd on our own behalf. We have to put down good things for better things. You only have so much time and energy, and we need rest. Right. You know, we really need rest. So you can justify and you can add only good things in. Mm-hmm. It can still be too much. Mm. So we have to really learn to balance that out about, like, well, what matters most? You know, and I really find that, like, with my clients and stuff, I write down, you know, I have them write down their priorities, mm-hmm. you know, and like in order, or write down everything they care about and want to do in a day and the things that matter to them. And then I have them put them in order of importance on the other side, mm-hmm. you know, then tear off the bottom half of that sheet and only do the top, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. because it's important to really learn, well, if my real struggle is diet and addiction, then I really need to work on maybe, you know, addressing maybe the spiritual meditational end of, like, me being conscious about my choices, but at the same time, giving myself some rest time, not just try to do everything.
Right.
Because people are always just adding one more thing onto their day all the time. And so my type A's, they're all burnouts. And it's not because they're like the best people. Mm-hmm. They are like the best people. But they're in their 20s and they're in their 30s and they're spent and done because they've not, they've done the nourishment on the physical end, but they've not balanced that out with time for family or their own pursuits or things of that nature. And that's really where that balance comes in.
One of the things that I picked up immediately in talking to you, Daniel, was the fact that you have the least judgmental nature about you that I've ever heard from anybody. I mean, including mm-hmm. including doctors that I've hired and paid big money to help me. That, you know, there's this, you're so much more interested in giving knowledge and helping somebody have the tools to do something themselves that otherwise seems overwhelming than you are any kind of self accolades. So I'm touched to have you on our show today, for real.
Well, I appreciate being here, and I am so thankful for the opportunity to kind of reach out maybe to a little bit broader audience and help hopefully maybe put some tools in their hands that helps them start, you know, their own reclamation, that helps them find their own path to, and that knowledge, that wisdom is the seed in every person, and that's the best way to serve, is to give them something that is beyond commodity.
And, well, speaking of which, if people want to follow you or find you online, take advantage of your services, how could they do that?
Yeah, well, I do have a Facebook page. It is Daniel Belt, Certified Health Coach. The easiest way to get a hold of me, though, is my email, which is daniel.belt@yahoo.com. But you can reach me either way, but I definitely am kind of overwhelmed with emails in general. So that's usually my mode of communication. People get online and post a lot more on Facebook, so I don't get so much into that. Like, I usually go direct information, which is a little easier for me on email.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show. It's been great having you.
Yeah, it's been great being here. Thank you.
And thank you, Donna, for coming on yet again. And thank all of you for joining us. If you haven't had a chance to do so, make sure you subscribe to this channel, click the bell for notifications. And if YouTube still doesn't notify you, it probably won't. If it won't, just know that every Wednesday morning at 9 a.m. Central, you will get a new episode of Chalk Talk. Until next time, take care and God bless.